Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have a return guest, Sean Wildermuth. Sean is a 9-time Microsoft MVP. He's a member of the iNeta Speakers Bureau and has spoken at international conferences such as TechEd and OrDev and VS Live and more than I can name. He's involved with Microsoft as a Silverlight Insider, a Data Insider, and Connected Technology Advisors. And he spends his time teaching at workshops around the country through his training company, Agilitrain. We'll put the URL for that up on the page associated with this podcast and can be reached at his blog, which is required reading at wildermuth.com. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just great.
Just great. That's awesome.
So I know that you have been exploring Windows 8. Am I correct?
That is correct. I recently just posted my first week with Windows 8 as my desktop OS, or laptop OS, I guess I should say these days, since I don't own a desktop anymore. It's been interesting. That's given me an opportunity to more do some actual Win 8 development, where before it was kind of, you know, remoting into a machine or using a VM, and, you know, that's just one barrier that makes me want to do it less.
So what is your setup for doing Win 8 development?
Right now I'm running Win 8 as my desktop, you know, operating system. So I do the development with VS 11 directly, you know, on actual hardware. It's my main OS, so I'm not, you know, using Windows 8 as my, you know, day-to-day operating system. And I'm also using the build tablet as a remote debugging device, so that when I want to test the touch stuff, I just run the application directly on the tablet, touch it with my fingers, and see if it still works.
And if you were giving advice to folks who are interested in developing in Windows 8, would that be the setup you recommend, a laptop and then remote to Slate?
It's a good setup if you're doing a lot of Windows 8 development. The hesitation is that the consumer preview is not perfect. Locks up a bit because the drivers are a little out of sync. I actually have some problems with Skype occasionally. So it matters your level of pain, right? How much pain can you endure? I can endure quite a bit, knowing that that's salved by the feeling that I'm, you know, one OS ahead of most of the other people in the room. But that's more of a personal proclivity than anything.
What's the advantage of using a laptop rather than using the Slate as your development computer?
It's just a matter of comfort. Having to actually do remoting into the tablet works. It really does, but the tablet isn't very powerful. So, you know, I've got, you know, a quad core 16 gig machine to develop on versus a 2 gig, single core machine, or i5, I think it is what the build tablets are, the Series 7 Samsungs. So it's just a matter of being able to do stuff faster. And the remote environment versus a native environment just isn't quite as good.
Explain to me what you mean by a remote environment.
Well, what I mean is RDPing into the tablet to do development, which is what I had been doing.
I'm just not familiar enough with it, but I thought you could use the tablet directly by connecting a keyboard to it and using the port so that you can have a monitor attached. So what's the need for remote?
Oh, okay. Well, for me personally, this is more of a personal problem, is that I don't sit at a desk. And so actually getting the tablet and bringing the Bluetooth keyboard onto my little laptop stand and hoping it doesn't fall every time I shift is something I never even considered. Honestly, you could. The Series 7 tablets do have, you know, ports for keyboards and such. I never bothered with it because I'm usually either at a coffee shop and that's bringing two computers with me, or on my couch, and the whole lap desk fiasco with a tablet isn't perfect.
Got it. Now I have a better picture of your development environment, and and you're doing all your development in VS 11. Is that relatively stable?
It's relatively stable. I'm pretty happy with it. The only things I really do in VS 10 anymore are Windows Phone development, because the tooling doesn't work with 11 yet.
That would sort of force the issue on you then.
Yeah. And they're running them side by side. I thought I had some problems early on, but now they've been both pretty stable. They don't seem to really conflict with each other. I'm able to install most of the same add-ons in both places and same keyboard combinations and, look and feel. So I'm pretty happy with VS 11 now that I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with it. I really like the new, Solution Explorer, where I can actually dive down into sort of the classes and the files and navigate that way instead of, the typical just open up the file and search.
Tell me about your path to learning to program with Windows 8.
Well, for me, I've delved into both the C# plus XAML as well as the JavaScript, metaphor there. And I'm sticking mostly because of my past experience with C# and XAML. What I'm doing to learn it is actually porting a Windows Phone app I wrote called GNUs over to the tablet. And that experience has been pretty interesting because obviously the form factor is very different, though they have touch in common. But there's a lot of things that you have to kind of get your head around. The idea of not just, swipe and a larger surface, but also some of the new metaphors. The idea of, semantic zoom, which I'm, attempting to use in a pretty smart way in the application, as well as the idea of creating views for the snap left and snap right, as well as the different orientations, is something, a lot of that's new, where I'm having to really, create three or four views for every view is something that is, it's working pretty well, but it was a matter of getting used to it.
And is that where you started? You dove right into this port, or did you begin working with Windows 8 in some other easier on-ramp?
No, I usually go deep dive directly into something pragmatic. My goal was to learn not only how Windows 8 worked, but also what the porting story was, right? Because I had .NET code that I wanted to use, and I really wanted to see what the mapping between them was, because that's, I think, going to be a good way to teach people, which is obviously a lot of what I do, on about the way Windows 8 is different. Because, it is a whole new environment. Those of us who are used to using the .NET framework are going to note that we have the .NET framework for Windows RT, which, like Silverlight before it, is fairly truncated. There are pieces that are missing. There are pieces that are replacements for them. And just trying to understand that, I thought just doing a few hello worlds, which I certainly did, I thought diving into something deeper would, give me a fairly quick to, a quick to market, as it were, idea of the whole ecosystem. And GNUs isn't that complex of an app, so that we're not talking about porting a large line of business app or anything like that. It has, three screens and one little engine that loads down RSS, so it's not that complex of an app to start with.
And what have you learned, Dorothy?
More than I wanted to know. I've learned that asking Tim Heuer about what bugs are and having him promote them to the team is a really good avenue for learning. But we're in a Windows 8, consumer preview, which means it's still pretty early. I'm running into a few roadblocks and a few tips and tricks about how to do things, that are close to the way I'm used to doing them in XAML and in Silverlight or on the phone. I've learned that you have to go look for pieces that don't exist. I'm using the syndication stuff in the service model on .NET pretty extensively, and I had to go kind of search and find where the Windows RT version of that is, and it's a rewrite of it, and so it works a little differently. I'm having to, manhandle it a little more. Same thing with the new controls. There are new controls that make it easier to build Windows 8 apps, but getting your head around it has been pretty difficult. And I actually just posted yesterday, last night, a trick I learned from Tim about how to actually get data binding failures in the output window, which to me should have just worked. But, I banged my head for a long time going, why isn't this binding? And is it a bad binding? I'm not getting anything in the typical way I would in XAML, So it's those sorts of lessons. That's why taking something that, is fairly concrete helps me get through that pretty quickly. It allows me to curse more while I'm doing it too, but that's a whole nother benefit.
So tell me about the kinds of things you have to get your head around with the controls.
Well, the different controls, the main control that people are going to end up using for some applications is going to be this new grid view control, which is a little similar to what you have in WPF with the list view, but it has these different levels of semantics. And initially, it looks a lot like it wants everything to be shunted through a collection view and use grouping, you know, the iGrouping interface or this new iGroupInfo interface. And I've spent a lot of time thrashing until I realized that you could just say, no, just do data binding, you know, pretty basically. And a lot of that confusion came out in that I looked at the developer preview and the grid view was so awkward then that I tried to apply those same learnings to the consumer preview where they fixed a lot of that stuff. So I'm hoping it'll get clearer as we go on. But there's the ideas of, you know, semantic zoom is one of those ideas where you, you know, pinch the interface and are able to get kind of the whole world view of the application and that view being different. And that's something that's built directly into, you know, into the grid view if you want to support that, knowing that it's disabled by default and finding to turn it on. And just a lot of small little learnings in that way.
Now, when you say it's built in, do you still have to do the layout of what you want in the semantic view, or is there some sort of automatic process with the grid view?
No, you end up having to create your own view because just zooming out is almost always the wrong thing to do. And I think that's why they didn't supply a standard one. The reason for that is when you zoom out, all your text is just going to get small and you're just going to have blocks of color. And so creating a view that's specific for the semantic view ends up being the right thing to do in pretty much every case anyway. Probably not every case. If it were in every case, then you would simply just do zoom and not worry about semantic zoom.
Right. That makes sense. But it sounds like you end up building a lot of views for any given what I would think of as a page or well, let's say, what is the term of art for a page in Win8?
It's a page. Well, I'm calling them pages because I'm coming from sort of the Windows Phone or the navigation framework point of view, and it's very similar in Windows 8. There's some different language there, but I'm calling them pages, and they have the notion of back and can go back like you have on the phone, so it's pretty similar. And what's interesting is the built-in sort of, you know, file new, create me a grid view application uses the Visual State Manager to handle those different views. And that's not a bad approach if you're comfortable enough with the Visual State Manager. There's also some amount of being smart about how you design, much like you did with the different orientations on the phone. It may be that one view is fine for, you know, three or four of these views if they smartly resize themselves or if you're using, you know, the grid with auto-sized columns and things like that. You don't have to have a different view for each one of them, but you have to consider each of the views. What I found is that the snapped view in a landscape mode, I can usually use the same view for the portrait mode of the tablet because they both have a similar orientation or a similar difference between height and width. Yeah, aspect ratio, that's the word or phrase. So, you know, it sounds like, ooh, we're doing a lot of work with views, but what I find interesting here is it really hammers home that idea of separation of view from data in the, you know, MVVM or MVC or MVP, because now you have more views that are all serving that same set of data. So keeping them separate is going to make it even easier. Really relying on data binding and Windows 8 is really going to pay off.
How much help do you get from either the controls or the operating system in handling the snap views?
You're given a change in view type. The snap is handled all by itself. It just sends you basically an event that says what the new view is. The view has changed, and one of those types of views is a snap. And so usually you're either going to, you know, change the look of the application or go to that state in the Visual State Manager. So it's fairly trivial.
Okay. What else is a challenge or interesting in Win8 development that you've discovered so far?
Well, the XAML dev is fairly straightforward and simple because I'm comfortable there, right? There's a certain level of I know XAML, and the XAML is pretty much the same. There's some nuances you'll need to learn, but pretty much the same. The real challenge for me has been the lack of the .NET framework, of the familiar pieces. I've needed so not only the syndication fee, but I kind of beat my head for a while trying to find a HTML encode and decode, which I ended up needing, as well as an URL encode and decode. And the URL encode and decode don't exist right now, but that you can build one pretty easily, you know, by using Google-based development. The HTML encode decode was less is actually built into the consumer preview now because it was such a needed thing that they what they ended up doing was built a class called HTML utilities with a method called getString, which because it's not called HTML encode or decode, it makes its discoverability really low. You end up having to search and find someone else that happens to have found it. It's those differences, and it's the differences in the way that the APIs are structured that end up being kind of the barrier. There's some good docs out there from Microsoft on kind of mapping one to the other, but that's going to be the troublesome part. So if you're missing something in, you know, system.net.utilities or something like that you're used to, going to the windows.net.so-and-so will sometimes find it, but sometimes it'll be hidden in some odd place because obviously the people who designed the .NET framework are a completely different group than are designing the WinRT stuff. And so there's, you know, it's a matter of style. When you know, I was used to the way the .NET framework was organized, it's organized a little differently on the Windows team side.
Now, you said at the beginning that you're also exploring the JavaScript development option.
I am a bit. I looked at porting GNUs to JavaScript just so I could see what that looked like, as well as, you know, trying to see whether the web skills, you know, jQuery and some of the template languages and things like that, Knockout, would work on the JavaScript side. And they do. But the JavaScript side tends to rely a lot on this framework that they've developed called WinJS, which is kind of a layer on top of WinRT to make it a little more JavaScript friendly. This is where access to things like the controls that are built into WinRT are accessible by. I find this the WinJS to be a barrier for those for me as someone who does web development. Because the WinJS is designed, I think, much more like the Ajax toolkit was than something like jQuery or more modern plugins. And so, again, it's this matter of style and an understanding how it works that becomes, I think, a little bit more jaded or shocking when I try to do the Windows JS development. So I've kind of backed away from that.
Okay. Let's go back to XAML and C Sharp. If a programmer comes to you, they're a Silverlight programmer or they're a WinPhone programmer, and they ask you about the learning curve on Windows 8, what are they looking at? Are they looking at weeks, months, years to get to the point where they're able to be productive?
Maybe a week, if that. I mean, the stacks are very similar. There are some things in the IDE and the way that the actual development of an app on the tablet's going to be different than in the browser. But for the most part, it's pretty similar. Most of the people doing a lot of the complaining about the pain of getting to to WinRT with XAML are people that aren't coming from XAML. They're coming from WinForms or they're coming from the web stack into XAML. And so there is an investment in learning not only the XAML, but, you know, that interaction layer between the .NET framework for Windows 8 and the actual WinRT APIs. But I would think no more than a week, because all of the, you know, the basic tenets that you've learned in XAML development before are there. The XAML stack, as of the consumer preview, is pretty much Silverlight 4 compatible. I don't know if Microsoft has said it is exactly that, but it's pretty close. You know, I'm using observable collections to bind collections to the UI. I'm using iNotify property change to handle that part of it. You know, it's stuff I've been doing now for 5 years. It's that part of it was fairly easy to get my head around. Learning these new controls will take you a little bit of effort, but, you know, list box and grids and canvases and stack panels, all of those are still there as well. These new controls are just additive. They're not a replacement for, you know, grids and stack panels and all the sort of layout you would always do.
So tell me what else you've been spending your time on besides plowing through Windows 8.
Well, I spent a lot of the last year doing a lot of web stuff. I built a now defunct product called First Inked, where which was, you know, a consumer product. So it was meant to work with HTML5 and We use jQuery, Knockout, and a bunch of other technologies to kind of put together this consumer-level website with integration to Facebook and such. And so I spent a lot of the last year taking those skills I had in web development from about 98 and going, what has changed in the last 10 years while I was away building XAML? And, you know, some of it is very much the same. You know, HTML5 is just a maturation of HTML4 that I'd used before. What had really changed was the JavaScript tools that had become mature enough to build rich client applications. I recently wrote a series of articles called The Modern Web Developer. It's actually, I only have the first 8 of the 10 topics covered so far, but the last 2 should be done soon. And this was really trying to take what I had learned as a web developer and brought it into what the modern tooling is. You know, it wasn't just looking at, oh, this is what jQuery is and this was what CSS3 is. And that's certainly part of it, but I think that's pretty well covered. I wanted to also talk about the ecosystem of, you know, using ASP.NET MVC, using things like minimizers for CSS and JavaScript, working with distributed source control, a lot of the other tools that come into modern web development. And what's interesting is, when I was developing this first Ink product, we spent about 20% in ASP.NET MVC. So 20% of our work was what used to be 100% of the web work I used to do. It was 80% that was this rich client model to allow people to be smarter and live longer on a single page without having to do, you know, postbacks and working much more with AJAX calls to servers, pulling data, updating data, working with third-party pieces of data. That was really the big difference.
That's a significant change in perspective on where you're spending your time and where the consumer will actually be spending their time.
Sure. We were a typical page-based, you know, website. You know, I didn't really think of ourselves as a web application. Some sites are really building themselves as this one page that the consumer does everything in. And that wasn't our perspective. Our perspective was there were certain pages that we wanted the user to be able to get to and do things on, but we wanted it to be a richer model. So, for instance, when we were importing photos from their Facebook page, instead of pulling them on the server and then displaying them, we were pulling them directly from Facebook, changing the DOM using Knockout.js, allowing them to, you know, click them and import them, all without ever postbacking to the server. And that what that does is two things. One, it gives the user this experience that is very much like a plugin experience, like you would get from if we had developed it in Silverlight or we had developed it in Flash. But it also means it would have it worked everywhere. Everywhere there was a web browser, this worked. I didn't have to worry about the problems of tablets and the problems of, you know, the Metro browsers or the browsers on the iPad or the iPhone. It worked in all those places because we were just using JavaScript.
So it would work through the browser on any platform.
Right. And I think when you're, this is something I, you know, even in the Silverlight tour I would talk about early on, and invariably there was one student who was sort of dismayed by it, and that is, you know, Silverlight was always to me about building applications, building, you know, these in the browser line of business sort of apps. I believe that from fairly early on, from maybe Silverlight 2 on, and that HTML had always been the right solution for websites. And that you know, never really waned. So when it came upon me to build an actual site that had to have that full reach of consumers back into older browsers and such, HTML and JavaScript was the obvious choice there.
Okay, so this raises an interesting question because you said much of the past year in the JavaScript world.
Yeah.
And yet when you turn to Win8 development, it sounds like, although you experimented with the JavaScript, you really ended up in the XAML piece. And I'm sure some of that is, you know, a question of where you've been spending most of your time over the longer period of the last 5 or 6 years. But it also speaks to, I think, something about the difficulty of moving over to either of those two projections of either C# or JavaScript.
Actually, I think it has less to do with the language and more to do with the layout model. So I chose the C# XAML not because of C#, but because of XAML. I find XAML to be more descriptive and easier to do data binding than I do HTML, CSS, and, you know, something like Knockout. I don't find the JavaScript language that much of a problem once you get your head around what it is. And I think that's the problem. When people argue about the merits or the lack of merits of JavaScript, it is a peculiar little language. But it's not hard to get your head around. And once you understand the way it was designed and why it was designed, it makes sense in the way it works. But honestly, to get the same sort of fluid experiences in HTML and CSS requires, I think, a lot more finesse than XAML. And that's why I think I ended up in the XAML space. I have the experience, certainly, but it's also just a matter of, you know, I want to do something intricate and interesting, and I understand the layout model, you know, a ton better in XAML than I do the HTML CSS world.
And Microsoft's advice, as far as I can tell, is that if you're an HTML programmer, stay with the HTML for Win8, and if you're a web programmer, go with JavaScript and HTML5. But my question about the XAML is whether you think that that has long-term prospects.
It's hard to tell at this point. I've been surprised at how many people have actually moved and are doing XAML plus C++ as well. Because of some of the benefits there, I think that might have a larger life than some people think. But I think XAML certainly has a long arm there. I think the promise that a lot of people are coming to with the HTML JavaScript stack in Win8 is the idea of code reuse, not just asset reuse. And unfortunately, I don't think they're going to find that to be, you know, exceptionally useful. In that the WinJS style of development is significantly different enough from client dev in the browser that I think it's going to be hard to have much that you're going to be able to reuse between them. You know, Chris Sells is actually a good person to talk about that with, because he's doing a WinJS book, or I should say a Win8 with HTML and JavaScript book right now. And he may have some, you know, he and I don't agree exactly on this 100%, but...
Well, since I now work for Chris, I'm going to almost certainly have to follow up with him and have him come on and talk about his perspective on programming Win8 with JavaScript.
Yeah, again, I don't think the difference is JavaScript in itself, and I certainly don't think it's HTML that much. He's been doing some interesting work trying to use jQuery plugins from web development in WinJS to different success levels. So I don't want to, you know, stomp on that, because I haven't done much of that. I basically built a small prototype early on that was, I wanted to make sure I could bring in jQuery. I wanted to make sure I could use Knockout to do, you know, some sort of simple layout. And it was successful. It worked. I could, for the most part, ignore WinJS and just do flat out HTML. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to want to use things like the grid view and the list views to create Windows 8 looking applications, and then I think, you know, things are a bit off the table. But I don't think the shared experience is much better in the XAML side either. I don't think there's going to be a lot of XAML assets that are going to come over, you know, one to one.
But you do find that you can do a port from another XAML platform, such as WinPhone, over to Win8 and bring a fair amount of the code and the concepts.
What I've done is I've brought most of the business logic from GNUs over. And it wasn't a decision that I couldn't port the phone UI. It was more of a decision that I didn't want to. So you could bring a decent amount of that logic over, though it's not a one-to-one match at all. There are things that exist on Windows Phone or in Silverlight that don't exist in Win8, and certainly the same, the reverse is true.
And how close do you think the consumer preview is to final?
Oh, I have no idea, honestly. I expect a beta to have some significant breaking changes and then an RTM at some point. But I don't, you know, I'm hoping they make the October timeframe, but that seems, what's the word I'm looking for? It seems...
aggressive? Optimistic?
No, aggressive. Aggressive. I think they're on the right timeline that they need to get tablets out by October to... make the holiday season. So I think it's the right timeline. What they're going to have to sacrifice in the end, we'll all have to see, right? The thing that worries me most is we're all developing with, you know, Wintel sort of hardware, and nobody has seen any of this stuff run on ARM. And the tablets that people are going to buy probably are going to be mostly ARM just for battery consumption, unless Intel, you know, pulls a rabbit out of a hat and actually has, you know, an Atom-like processor that has good battery life. But they've never come through before. I don't have a lot of faith in them now.
All right, let's conclude with some advice for the aspiring Win 8 programmer. They can go out and get themselves a laptop or a desktop and run Win 8 as the primary operating system, or they can go out and get a Slate and run Win 8 there. So am I okay so far on the hardware?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or you could run it as, you know, as a second operating system on existing hardware. I mean, you don't have to have your own device for it. But I found that I don't find it very easy to work in a virtual machine at all with Win8. It works, but it's pretty slow.
Okay. And then your approach was to dive right in and try porting an application. Are there other places to go for learning or for getting started?
Microsoft actually has quite a bit of samples out there. And so I would probably first start digging into them, depending on what you're doing. And I wouldn't go port a large Silverlight line of business app as your first test. Like I said before, GNUs is a fairly straightforward small app because it's a phone app, that it was easy to kind of get my head around it. But create a small application, maybe two or three screens, maybe, you know, some fairly straightforward piece of data that you're pulling in. And, you know, you're going to have the same experience you have on the phone where you're going to need to go get data from somewhere in the lowercase C cloud and, you know, just go for it. Most of the same facilities you're used to working with are there. They're just named different, you know. Isolated storage isn't called isolated storage, and dealing with things like saving settings to the live service instead of just saving as a file, you're going to run into all those pretty quickly.